Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is, one more Wednesday night, where God has allowed us to be together to study the Word of God. You know, it's a privilege and it's an honor to be with you on Wednesday night. I realize that you all could have been doing something else because it's a busy time of the year with the holidays and everything like this. But my board is lighting up, the callers are calling in, and I just thank God for this opportunity. You know, as always, I have to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise for what he has done in my life, for what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Well, and I have to thank each and every one of you, the listeners, the ones that's dialing through the phone, as well as the ones that may be listening on the internet. To you, I say thank you, and God blessings be upon you. Because every Wednesday, when you take time from your schedule to come here and be with me as we share the word of God, it is a sacrifice, and God honors it, and I thank you. Tonight's lesson is going to be talking about what's, you know, the new year. Last week and week before last, we talked about Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. And Jesus came into the world that he would be our Savior to take away the sins of the world. And through those lessons, we understand and we have it. And now Jesus has come. And he's also gone. But there's, we have hope because Jesus is going to come back again. He's coming back for his people. And we can hold on to that hope, our hope of salvation, that's going to help us and allow us to live in this world and be able to operate and do the things that is necessary that God wants us to do and that will produce a good life for us here on earth, because God already knew all of the changes and adversities that we would face in this world, but he has also made a way for us to be in the world, but not of the world, and he has built fence of protection around us so that we can make it through. So I'm going to go ahead on and put a song on the air right now. You can just meditate with the music, and once the song is over, I will be back and start the lesson. But this is a record by Jennifer Hudson, and it's O Holy Night. You know, Christmas is less than a week away now. So listen to this song, and I'll be back, and we'll study the Word of God. As always, if you would like to say something, you know you have to press the one button on your phone. I encourage you to join in and give words of encouragement. You could sing a song, or you could do a prayer. You could do anything that God leads and puts on your heart. And I will open a mic and you could come through the airwaves. And something you may have to say may touch someone else's lives. God has allowed us to have this platform so we could do those kind of things. If you, like I say, if you want to say anything, you press the one button on the phone, and I'll open your mic. Thank you, and this is Jennifer Hudson, O Holy Night. I pray that you enjoyed that, Jennifer Hudson, Oh Holy Night. And we're going to go ahead and start with the lesson. But as always, we must give honor and glory to God, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that has allowed us another chance in the land of the living and allowed us to be together tonight. So at this time, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence and asking that you just hear this petition, dear God. Grant all of the blessings that are in need of. Heavenly Father, I don't know who's listening, everybody that's listening at this time, and I don't know all of the needs, but I know you do. I'm asking that you dispatch your angels to watch over each and every one of us, dear God. Protect us and keep home, hurt, or danger from us, dear God. Heavenly Father, search our hearts, and if there's any broken relationships, dear God, that can be fixed, dear God, I'm asking that you put it on our mind and open up our hearts, and we could fellowship once again with some of our broken relationships and even the bad relationships, dear God, that we have, that they could be better relationships. Lord, I know relationships is one of the most important things of the world because Jesus died. One of the things was that we could have a relationship with you, a one-on-one. And Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon everybody that may be listening, dear God. Bless their homes, dear God. Bless their children, dear God. Bless their finances, dear God. Bless their health, dear God. Regulate their mind, dear God. Whatever the problem is, I'm asking you to fix it. Heavenly Father, you say you're a heart fixing, a mind regulator. They have so many people that's going out with mental disturbance, dear God, because this world is a hard, hard place to be in, dear God. And sometimes we get overwhelmed, dear God, and it's a thin line between sane and insane, dear God. So we need you for our mental health, dear God. Regulate our mind, dear God. All of our footsteps, dear God, that we would only go to places where you would have us to be. Bless our hands, dear God, that we would only touch things that we should. Help us with our speech, dear God, so we won't say anything that's harsh or bitter towards anyone that can cause them to stumble. Heavenly Father, let us realize that who we really are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you have mercy upon each and every one of us. In a word that goes forward on tonight, I pray that your word won't return void, but it would accomplish its intended purpose. Heavenly Father, I ask all these blessings and others in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen, and thank God. Well, right now it's lesson time. But those who have their Bibles with them, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, and we are going to be in the fourth chapter, the 23rd through the 32nd verse. The 23rd through the 32nd. You know, I was trying to think of a lesson for tonight, and I wanted to deal with something about the new year because we're fast and approaching. And it's just amazing that Christmas is going to be on a Wednesday. So, of course, New Year's this year is going to be a Wednesday. And, of course, our night together is Wednesday. And I know with the holidays, people are busy and they're dealing with their families and loved ones. And I don't know if we're going to go on the air, but you guys going to allow me to know what you would like for me to do on Wednesday. And then the next Wednesday is New Year's. So if the holiday is there and it's too busy a time for everybody to come together, then we won't have another show until the first week at the first Wednesday after New Year's. So I thought it befitting to talk to you a little bit tonight about the New Year. Not like it's always spoken the New Year where people are praying, Lord, in the New Year I pray I want to get me a house. There's nothing wrong with that. And some people say, Lord, I want to get me a car. It's nothing wrong with that because the Bible say, in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. There's nothing wrong with that. And some people is praying maybe for a husband. Some people is praying for their children to get straight or their children to come home. People are praying for all kind of things. And some people make a New Year's resolution and some people don't. But tonight I wanted to talk something about that, and I went to God, and he told me, you know, well, a new year is just dealing with newness, you know, but he said, you know, every day is a new day. Every day should be treated with newness, and everybody should have a resolution every day for them to be better that day than they was yesterday. So all of that came about, and the Holy Ghost led me to the book of Ephesians, and that's what we're going to do tonight. As always, whenever we're in a book, I always talk about who wrote the book. Well, we know that Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and Paul wrote 13 other letters, episcopals, in the New Testament. You see, Paul was writing to the book of Ephesus. It's the people who live in Ephesus. And Paul, being a taught man by Jesus Christ, and the churches was established, and things would be things needed to be straightened out in these different churches. You know, it was a lot of them. The Church of Philippians, the Church of Galatians, the Thessalonians. You know, all of these people, well, all of this was churches that was established in different places after the day of Pentecost. Because you see, on the day of Pentecost, and you could find it in the book of Acts, was the first time they had church. And everybody was in Jerusalem. You know, it's just so awesome how God hooked things up, because it was a festival of feasts, and everybody had to come to Jerusalem for that time. So everybody was gathered in Jerusalem, and God decided to let the church go forward. But you remember he told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And the churches were established in the book of Acts. But when, after the church was established, everyone started going home to their right places. And they brought the gospel to all of these different places, to Galatians, to Philippi, and to Thessalonians. That's how the churches got started all around. We could see the awesomeness of God. And Paul helped establish some of the church. And the people looked to Paul whenever they had disagreements, and maybe false teaching or whatever was going on. And Paul wrote a letter, which is called an epistle. And Paul wrote to the church, and he was giving them words, sometime of encouragement, sometime it was words of correction, sometime it was words to build up faith, sometime it was a word of correction, because maybe false teachers had begun to come into the church. Some was warning about the way they was acting, but they was all for different purposes, for different reasons, at a different season. So Paul is the author of the book of Ephesians, and also he wrote 13 other books, and some people think 14. But Paul wrote these scriptures to the Ephesians, and it was about newness, and I selected them. But I want to tell you that the new year is fast approaching. And we are now wondering, I don't know about you, but I am, where did all the time go? And, you know, we always say, you know, it seemed like the world is passing so fast. I don't know, is it because we're getting so older, we paying more attention to it? Because children, they wake up and they go through the day. They ain't worrying with how it is. They got to go to work. They got to cook the food. So they ain't paying that much attention to time. But, you know, as we get older, you know, we start paying more attention, and it seemed like there's not enough time in a day. But I just want to tell you that 24 hours is 24 hours. The same 24 hours that was back then is the same 24 hours right now. You know, and if God gave us 25 hours as we know it in a day, you better believe it's enough time. So maybe you have to rearrange and look at what you're doing in the time and maybe make some changes. You see, at the beginning of 2003, some of us made New Year's resolutions, and usually they involve changes. We look at ourselves, take inventory, and by the way, we shouldn't just do that once a year. We should be doing that daily. We really should. We looked at ourselves and decided what changes need to be made. At that point, we realized that some changes, we had to make some changes to stop doing some things that we were doing, while we had to make other changes to start doing things that we wasn't doing. Changes. You're going to either stop doing something or you're going to be creating something. That's what change is about. You see, we should always be looking for ways to improve ourselves, not once a year, but always. Now, the year's about to end. And I know some of you guys set goals. You might not call it a New Year's resolution, but, you know, as the new year approach, you start immediately thinking about things you want to do or should have did or could have did, and you figure it's a new chance, it's a new year. But this year is about to end, and some of the goals were reached, some of the resolutions maybe was met. Others never even took off. You know, we have it in our mind, but we never let it penetrate through our heart. And they never took off. Now, I want you to know, you know, this is not January the 1st, but this is December the 18th. And everything that has happened up until this point is the past. And we got to learn to leave the past in the past. You know, because our past is never going to come back. You know, so as we look at the new year, I encourage you to leave all your losses, your trials, and your tribulations, your failures, your hurt, and bitterness. Leave it in the past and embrace your wins and look forward to even a better way to live. You know, it's okay. Another year is right around the corner filled with new opportunities. And most of all, I want you to know that the new year and the rest of this year and every day that God allow you to have life is full of God's grace. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah, for those who have their Bible, are just writing down Jeremiah 29, chapter 11, verse. Jeremiah 29 and 11. You know, and that's such a wonderful verse, and it's so appropriate for the time that we're going in. And you see, you know, I have to say the new year because, I mean, that's just the way we look at things. But every day is a new year. Every day is a new day. And we should keep that in mind when we think of God. But in that scripture with Jeremiah 29 and 11, the Lord says, "For I know," and this is God was speaking in the Old Testament, "and the Lord said, for I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know, this scripture was put in the Bible, but it was God speaking to his people. And when you read the word of God, you have to ask the question, who is he speaking to them so you could understand the text? But you also have to say, what from that text can I apply to my life? Because if God said it for them, it's also for you. But God was letting you know, I know the plans I have for you. So when he say that, that lets you know that he made plans for you before the foundation of the world was created, before you was in your father's loins, before you became impregnated into your mother. God knew the plans he had for you. He said he's going to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, when we hear something like that, we could just shout all day long. Because we know it's not predicated on us and what we can do, but it's just us submitting to what God wants to do. Hallelujah. See, there's a difference. God has a plan for us, but we have to submit and cooperate with him so that it could do what God set out for it to do in our lives. You know, as we enter the new year, one thing I would like for you to do, and it's real simple, is learn how to love God more. And loving God more, I know you, I can guarantee you won't be disappointed. You know, we have a lot of people with low self-esteem, feeling overwhelmed, feeling signs of failure, feeling signs of inadequacy for all kind of reasons. Some of them make sense and some of them don't. But, you know, The only place that Satan could play is in our head, and he's doing his job, and he's putting all kind of obstacles and shooting all kind of darts our way to keep us feeling hopeless for one reason or another. But if we learn to love God more, loving God more allows us to love ourselves more, because you will never know who you are until you know who your maker is. And when you love on your maker, it bounces back and allows you to love on yourself. And that's how we can live in the world but not be of the world. Many of us have stopped making New Year's resolutions because they seem so hard to achieve. But I don't know about you. I don't sit down and say, oh, I'm going to dust. And so I used to do that. But, you know, somewhere in the back of my mind are thoughts of what I would like to do different to achieve a better way of living. We at Christians should always strive for a better way. Our goal should be that we mature more each year, which is called Christian growth. Because, you know, the more you know, the more you can show. And the more you have to show to God, the more God can allow you to go. Come on now. The more you know, the more you can show. And the more you show, God allows you and give you more paths to go. You know, they had that thing out with Jeremiah, increase my territory. How can you quote that and be serious about that when whatever you have in your hand, you haven't even done it yet? Increase means to add to. You got to be doing something first before something could be added to. Check yourself out. You know, I'm not saying where you should be. I'm not even saying where you could be. But I know it's just simple math that an increase means to increase what you're doing to give God praise and honor in the aspect that we're talking about. You know, the things that you're doing for God or towards mankind. God wants to give you an increase, but you got to have something for him to increase. You see, you know what needs to be changed in your life. I do. You know. Even if we don't write it down or speak it out loud, we as Christians should always strive for better way. We should want Christian growth in our lives. That's one of the saddest things in the world, for someone to be on the battlefield for the Lord, a Christian, so they say, in a church, and yet they don't know no more than they knew the first day they joined. We have to become mature. There are people that have been in the church for so long, and there's a scripture where Paul or somebody describes as being on milk. You know, you feed a babe milk. You feed a babe milk. And in the Christian world, you know, in the writings of the Bible, they said some people, you know, we all start on milk. But it is God's desire that we get to the food, to the solid food. And we have people that's been around and on the battlefield for many years, and yet they still drinking milk. You know, how far you go and how much you mature and how much you understand, depends on what you put in it. The Holy Ghost's job is to bring everything to memory that you need to know at the time. But I could tell you, it's just like a computer. If you put nothing in, the Holy Ghost can't bring nothing out. But if you got it in you when you need it, the Holy Ghost will give it to you. Because as always, I tell you guys, I only give information. The Holy Ghost give revelation. When we understand our purpose and God's will for our lives, we should strive to walk in the newness of who we are daily, growing stronger and stronger day by day, year by year. It's not a once-a-year thing with us, y'all. It should be a daily thing. It should be a minute thing and an hour thing and so on and so on. Because you see, they to the world talk about this newness with the new year, but God said, I give you newness every time I allow you to breathe breath. He said, because the next second after you breathe breath, it depends on me if I let you breathe another one. And since I'm a God of purpose, you know, I have a purpose for your life. And when your purpose is either fulfilled, I knew you wouldn't fulfill the purpose, and I bring you back home to glory, and you won't have nothing else, so you wouldn't think about new. But God say, my newness is every time I allow you to have breath, every time I allow you to open your eyes in the morning. And you ought to know that's God providing, because everybody didn't get up this morning. Look at the butchery. They didn't. So we're going to go ahead into the scriptures. You know, I wanted to find scriptures on newness for the new year, and the Holy Ghost led me here to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 23rd verse through the 32nd verse. You know, I know that the Bible has an answer for every question. And keep in mind, we're fixing to enter a new year. Keep in mind, God wrote this in the Bible. Well, Paul wrote it, but he was inspired by God. And it was so amazing and to me so appropriate. And I'm not using Diane words. I'm not coming as a person that does a speech, a motivational speaker telling you what to do for the new year. I'm telling you what's in the Word of God. And I went to something with newness, and it is so appropriated. So let's get started. We're going to do the 4th chapter, the 23rd and the 24th verse. And look how it starts. To be new. He's saying what you should do, you should be new in the attitude of your mind. Come on now. We need a new mindset daily. And 24 says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that came out of the NIV Bible, y'all. It wasn't the King James Version. But it said to be new in the attitudes of your mind and put on a new self. You know, we are new creatures when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. But, you know, we don't always act like it. Because we people, we live in the flesh. We're not perfect. But I'm not telling you to be perfect. I know we don't always act like it. And I still know that we are saved. But I want you to know that people should be able to see a difference in your life. We should examine ourselves daily, not just the end of the old year or the beginning of the new year. Living a Christian life is a process, y'all. And until you close your eyes, you're going to be living the process, which is called sanctification. But although we have been given a new nature by Jesus Christ, because our old nature died with Christ when he took away the sins, but we got a new nature, and it was given to us when we accepted the Lord, we don't automatically think good thoughts or express the right attitude. We don't. And everybody who say they do it every time, I think the Bible say you're a lie if you say you don't sin, if you say you don't have the right attitude all the time. We are not perfect, but we should be striving to have the right attitude more and more daily. Even though we have been given a new life in Christ, this is our part. Christ did that, but we must transform and renew our attitude daily. Each day and each new year, we should be listening to God and listening and doing what he said so that we will be changing all the time. As you look back over the past year, do you see a process of change for the better in your thoughts, your attitudes, or your actions? Now, you could say yes or no. And if it's yes, and if it's no, start going. It's okay. Remember, the past is gone. You're going to start from right now when it take root in you and you understand that you want to think other thoughts. You see, because if we don't study the Word of God, we don't know what we should be doing. And I want to tell you this to give you some words of encouragement. Change may be slow, but it comes. Change do come once you trust God to do the changing. It was never you. You never had the power to change yourself. Because if you would have had the power to change yourself, Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die on the cross. because you would be able to change yourself. And if one person could change themselves, then everybody would have to change themselves, and Jesus wouldn't have had to die on a cross. But you in yourself, you in and of yourself, is not privileged to be able to make the change. It's God's working in you from the inside that produced the change. Let him in. Let him have his way. Submit unto God. Allow the Holy Ghost to lead you. You see, in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, you know, because I just told you that change may be slow. And so I wanted to get some scripture because, you see, I could talk all day because that's what I do. But, you know, I want to give you the word of God where we could share and read and look at it together. So if you go to Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, and I talked about change being slow, you know, it says, again, I saw under the sun. That means that Ecclesiastes, you know, was written in, you know, it's a book of wisdom in a sense. And, you know, they were studying, and he said, under the sun, I saw something else in my studies and paying attention to the world. He said, the race is not given to the swift. Come on now. So when I say the change may be slow, this word of God is telling you right now, it's not how fast. But it's not given to the swift. But you know, the scripture said those who endure to the end. And you see, nor the battles to the strong. Not everybody that's the strongest always win the battle. Nor for bread, which is provisions to the wise. Nor riches to the intelligent. You know, they got some intelligent people. They have some unintelligent people that's rich. You know, the lottery just paid over $500 million, and it was, you know, two people had the numbers, and so if that's $300 million apiece, that's over $250,000, and I think they're going to be real rich. Not that they was the intelligent ones, because all they did was play the ticket. Look at what happens in a world. You might say God has nothing to do with gambling. I'm not saying he have nothing to do with gambling. But I know one thing, he allows it. And he could stop anything he wants. And I'm not saying because he allowed it, you know, we as Christians should do it or not do it. I'm not saying that, so don't get it twisted. But it is here, and God has to allow, because everything that happened, God has to orchestrate or allow it. You know, and it's, I want you to let you know that God does not grant more favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all. Hallelujah. Look at the end of this if you can. And go back to Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 and read this again and understand your place. Understand how your hope is established. He's telling you, I don't just take care of rich. You know, I don't just give provisions for those who wise. I take care of, he said, I even take care of fools and babies. He said, I don't give more favor to people because they have more knowledge. You know, when we did the lesson last week, the shepherds was in the field watching over their sheep, and the angel of God went to them and told them that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and they should go see the miracle. Now, why was it presented to the shepherds who, you know, had begun to be sort of like the low class? You know, they smell like sheep, and you know, in the lesson we taught that they laid on the floor, but God saw fit. You know, was they the most intelligent? Was they the most wise? Was they the most knowledgeable? But he said, I don't give the most favor to those who have the most knowledge. But look at what it says after this. You read it for yourself. But time and chance happen to all of them, to all of us. A time and a season and chance happens to everyone. Once we realize it is that God through the Holy Ghost, which is working in us, that truly produced the change, we can really learn to rest. I'm giving y'all some food for thought. I pray that each and every one of us learn how to rest and be assured that God's words will not return to him void. And if he said it, his word is going to always accomplish its intended purpose. So for those who don't know what the word of God says, another encouragement, start reading the word in the year. Because if you learn to love God more, I guarantee you, you're going to start loving on yourself more. You see, our old way of life before we were saved by Christ is completely old, and it's in our past. You know, we have a lot of times we want to make a mixture. You know, we want to do the things of the spirit today, and then we want to do the things of the flesh tonight, and we want to do the things of the spirit and think on God when we're in church, and then when we get in the world, you know, so that's a mix-up. God said, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays, and lukewarm won't get you, and you can't put old wine in a new bottle because it's going to bust. So he's saying stop commingling your past with your new future, because your past is past and it's gone. We should make a new resolution daily and a conscious commitment to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. We are not to be driven by our desires and impulse only. You know, there are people just go by what they want, because that's the world we live in. And then if impulse come in their mind, they carry it through. And usually that's the sign for failure. But we must be led by the Spirit. We must put on a new resolution, head in a new direction, and we have to create in ourselves a new way of thinking with God. Our old way of life is gone. And 25 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthful to your neighbor, for we are all one body. And what that scripture is saying, and you could take it for the new year, especially if you're a liar, speak half-truth, you know, whoever you may be, we all are in some degree, maybe, probably. You know, it's saying stop lying, because it caused conflicts. And, you know, stop lying on one another. You know, some people lie on somebody else to make themselves look good. You know, we have to stop that, because, you know, lying can get into something and it could ruin relationships. That's a good thing for New Year's. In verse 26 and 7 and 27 say it, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. That seemed pretty good. The Bible does not, never, ever, and nowhere have told us that we shouldn't feel angry. But it points out that it is important to handle our anger properly. Once we get angry, if you vent thoughtlessly, anger can hurt others and destroy relationships. And then the other way, you know, some people say, all I want to do is keep peace. All I want to do is make sure everybody all right. You ain't even got the power to do that. And if you done sat around in your life for many years thinking you kept peace and it was because of you there was peace, you could hang it up. Oh, I want to be fair. The fair is a mythical myth. Fairness is only achieved when both parties agree that everything that was done was satisfactory. How many times in your life you did things for people and you knew within your heart and thought that it was the fairest thing to do, and yet they didn't embrace it, they didn't accept it because it wasn't fair to them. So fair is a mythical myth unless the fairness could be reached from everybody. Just because you do it and you think that's the fairest thing to do don't mean that that's how they receive it as the fairest thing. And when you saying you want to keep peace, you know what that do? It just make you keep everything bottled up inside. And sometimes it could cause you to become bitter. And it could destroy you within. There are so many people that are bitter inside that they are no good for themselves or for others. We should learn how to let go and let God. You know, you're not in charge and afforded the privilege to fix every situation. The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. And then soon we fixing everything and it don't go our way, or they don't act like we think they don't act like we think they should act. Now we mad. We should deal with our anger immediately in a way that builds relationship rather than destroy them. We have to be careful what we do with our anger. You see, the scripture said, give no foothold to the devil. Don't let the devil get in. You got to realize that Satan is watching and waiting for an opportunity to divide us. Once you let Satan in your head, he will mess with your head and have you thinking that what you're thinking is you, but it's really his perception. He's trying to get you to agree to make it become your reality. Are you angry with someone right now? It could be, you know, a lot of people come my way and they say, you know what my mama did, thus and so. And my mama should have did thus and so. And I have a rule for that. I call it my 18-18 rule. Whenever someone come to me and they talk about this, especially when they older, and God forbid they reach 36. 18 and 18 is 36. They say that parents is responsible for children till they're 18. You know, and there's no manual came with parenting. So some of the things we do, mine and I was perfect. And you got to realize that children was evaluating parents out of children's eyes. So they didn't have enough maturity to call a spade a spade. They let their imagination be the guiding point, and that's how it became their perception and it was their reality if we did right or we did wrong of how they received it. But if you're past at least 36 or past 36, your parents had 18 years and you had the next 18 years. And if you just as messed up or keep messing up in them 18 years, that is not your parents. That is definitely you. And if you're angry and bitter because of something that your parents should have did, you think, or could have did, you have to look at yourself and see what you could do better. How many of us know people 36, 7, 8, and 40s and 50s is messed up, is all outdoors? And if you speak to some of them, they say, you know, I had it hard coming up. But you just making it hard, keep going up. You know, Satan is watching and waiting for every opportunity to divide us. Don't let the day go down before you begin to work on mending relationships. Y'all, that's a good thing we could bring into the new year. Because you know, when a relationship is broke or it's a bad relationship, there are no winners. I think all the time about all of the men that I know and in the world that not raising their children, not supporting them, and not doing anything for them. You know, it really be their loss, and how you could really see it, how God really lets you see it. Sometimes that child becomes very important and very rich, and then the parent, sometimes the parent want to come in. You know, and sometimes the child accept them because of their heart, and sometimes they don't. But not just in the case of a rich father, a boy getting rich for the father. But you see, he didn't know all of the joy he maybe could have received bringing that child up. He don't know all of the joy he could have received by being hand in hand with that child and watching him as he progress and grow. That probably would have given him joy, but he turned his back on it. So he'll never be able to get that, and it's over. You know? But you know, when a relationship is broken, there are no winners. The boy don't know the joys of what it could have been to be with a father. And the father don't know the joy that he missed by not being a father with his son. You see, we must work doing something useful with our hands. And don't do no stealing. You know, the scriptures say we have been stealing. If you have been stealing, you must steal no longer. So we got a thief listening in, and all of us, you know, when we say a thief, it may not be robbing a bank. You know, sometimes it's just going to your job and and bringing home the people ink pens. I don't know. You know, it could be, you know, go in the store and get too much change and don't give it back. Whatever. So when they say stealing, you know, some people are, you know, I ain't no thief. I don't steal nothing. Take inventory. But they say he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with others. See, God give us something, and everything he give it is not just for us, it's for us to share with others. And then, you know, the next one say, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, which is 29. The other one about stealing was 28. But only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, that's deep. Too much talk. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. We live in a world where people talk just too much. And guess what? They're talking most of the time about nothing. It's hard to find wholesome conversation these days. You know, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 21 and 23. Proverbs 21 and 23 says, whosoever keep his mouth and his tongue keep himself out of trouble. You know, the Bible teaches that if you talk too much, you will get in trouble. I didn't say you might. You will get in trouble. And then Proverbs came back with 12, verse, chapter 12, verse 18 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know how so many people tell some people all day long there'll never be nothing, and a person starts to believe it? You know how some parents talk to their children that you're just like your no good father? You know the drill. I don't need to go through them. But we have to watch what we say. What they say, we need wholesome conversation. You know, and this is the funny one to me, how people get so mad when they hear that someone says something about them, as if they never said anything about someone else. You just happen to hear it. All of the things that you said about people, if they hear them all, I'm sure they would be, you know, really, you know, angry about that as well. But you're going to get mad as all outdoors because you heard somebody say something about you, as if you never said nothing about anybody. You need to check yourself. Some people get so mad about what people do to them. And if you really take inventory, there are things that you have done to other people as well. Too much talking sinks ships. Too much talking wreck homes and wreck relationships. And I'm going to use the thing from the old folks. I don't know if it's in the Bible because, you know, plenty of things we say is not in the Bible. But the old folks say, if you can't say anything good, don't say nothing. And the next scripture about grieving the Holy Ghost is living inside of us. And the way that we live can grieve him. So I want you to know that if you want to take charge and you want to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, watch how you live. We should strive not to grieve the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, but learn how to cooperate with him. The Holy Ghost have your best interests at heart. For the remaining days of this year and when entering 2004, allow the Holy Ghost to lead you and to guide you. He will never steer you wrong. The Holy Ghost is our seal that we belong to God, and he is working in us to will and to do God's good pleasure. I don't know if you guys know, you know, when people be praying for gifts, God has given the Holy Ghost the office to be able to administer gifts. How you like that? So the Word of God teaches us many things that we don't know, and that's another reason to respect and cooperate with the Holy Ghost, that he could dispense the gifts that God has for you in your life. But we have to trust him. And we need to try to learn to love God more. And as I'm getting ready to close right now, 31 said, get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, bawling, slander, along with every form of malice. It just says simple, get rid of it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Now, Christ forgave you for everything that you ever did and everything that you're going to do. He's constantly forgiving you, and yet you have the audacity and think you afforded the privilege to decide who you want to forgive and who you don't want to forgive. And yet you're looking for forgiveness from God totally for the things that you do. And as I get ready to close tonight, you know, and the new year's coming, that was the word of God. And I think it covered a lot of things. If we could just line ourselves up with the word of God that went forth tonight, that would be a wonderful New Year's resolution, and we can create to give ourselves kingdom living, which is doing what God said, lining ourselves up with the word of God. And that's what we should do. So I pray that you take that and you could use it, you know. And the one thing you should remember that the word tell us that we should decide and be committed to, it's coming out of Luke, the 10th chapter and the 27th verse. You know, they asked God, Jesus, and he was teaching, what was the greatest commandment and what should we do, and what's the best thing that we could do to please God? And they asked him about the commandments, which one of them was the best commandment and stuff like that. But this is how he answered. And I pray that we take this with us as we enter the new year. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. So as we go into the new year, and this one is about to close, I just pray that we learn to love God more so we can begin to love ourselves and others even more than that. And that's the lesson for tonight. And I pray that it's something that you could use, something that can, you know, gave you some encouragement. You know, because, you know, God said, I didn't make this journey so hard. And I'm not gonna do the things that give you things to do that you won't be able to accomplish. This is really, God said, to live a life is as easy as looking at the palm in your hand. But we make it complicated. Learn to love God more by trusting him and being obedient to his word. And take some of these things out of our life that shouldn't be there. And I guarantee you that you're going to have kingdom living right here on earth. So if it's anybody at this time that would like to make a comment, if they would like to pray, if you like to sing, you like to do anything else, if you press the one button on your phone, I can open the studio up for you. And then everyone can hear what you have to say. Anybody would like to talk? You know, this is going to be our last lesson for the night. And I've been on this station, been doing this since February, so it's been 10 months. And some of you, I've never even heard your voice or know where you're calling from. And it's okay. But this is our last lesson because, you see, next Wednesday is Christmas. So we won't be on the air again to 2014. So if anyone would like to say anything at this time, If you press the one button on your phone, you know, I'll open the mic and you could come and be with us in the studio. Okay, I have a caller. I'm going to open your mic. The caller at 985-860, the one button was pressed. Would you like to make a comment? 985-860. Maybe she pressed the one by mistake. Anyone would like to say any comments? At this time, I need to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again that you have allowed us to be together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, I thank you that all of us will reach the new year with a new mindset, with a new heart, with a new attitude, dear God. Because, you see, our job is to give you praise. And how can we praise you? Not just with lifting our hands up, but being obedient to your word. Help us, dear God, and guide us. Lord, your word say you'll never leave, and you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Help us, dear God. Guide us, dear God. Protect us in all things. And I'm going to be so careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name. And right now, since there's no one that want to talk, I have some more music that I could play. And if I still have listeners on after the song, I'll come and speak some more. Thank you.
Thank you. want you to know it won't work. Ooh, no, no, no.
It just ain't working.
And that's no weapon formed against me. There's still callers on the line, and if you know you decided that you want to talk, if you press the one button, I still can bring you in and let you speak. But if you don't want to talk and you're enjoying the music, at this time I'm going to play another record, and I pray that you enjoy it. This is Smokey Norfolk. I need you now. I'm going to pause that right now because I see that I have a caller, and a caller has pressed the one button. So I'm going to open the mic and let this caller have the way right now and listen in. So caller at 952-57, your mic is open now, and you can speak.
Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
We doing wonderful tonight. How you doing, Tamika?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking. I want to tell everybody good night and happy holidays. And I wanted to say that I enjoyed the lesson and I needed to hear that because the things that you touched on tonight is some of the things that I'm experiencing. So I'm glad that I was able to get clarity on a few things and take heed to what you said. So I wanted to say thank you, and I love y'all.
And I thank you, Tamika, for calling, because y'all, you know, have to remember, yes, I am a vessel. I can only give information. The Holy Ghost give revelation and illumination. But when I pray to God, I pray for God to give me a message for the people that he know is going to call through, that he know is going to listen, that it's something that they're asking God for, they need in their lives. So it's no accident. You know, like some people, you know, they might have a church and 50 people go to the church and everybody receives something, but they receive something different because that's the way the Word of God works. And I want to say thank you, Tamika, and you have a happy holidays and everything else, and we'll be talking again. Thank you, Tamika, for calling in. And you be blessed.
Thank
okay?
you. Okay?
All righty. So that was Tamika. She was called. She's calling from Houston, Texas. And I thank you for those words of encouragement words that testified that the word wasn't returned void. And I thank you. So I'm gonna continue playing the record long as there's somebody on the line.
Somebody else has said right here,
agony of being alone, fear of doing things on your own, just a triumph in your life that God said will make you strong.
That was awesome. That was really awesome. And since I still have listeners on the phone, I'm going to keep playing music. Enjoy. Was Kirk Franklin, Imagine Me. And if there's any other listeners on the line, I want to tell you before I signed off that I thank you and I appreciate you. And I pray that you have a wonderful night and all of the days that God has assigned for your life be pleasing in his sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Until we meet again, good night and be blessed.